Were you there? Were you there? Alongside the Son and the Father? Were you there as the foundations of the earth were laid? When the morning stars sang together as the Creator shut in the sea with doors? When he proclaimed his authority and sovereignty over all of the universe? Over all of its elements, the land, the ocean, and the heavens? I can't see you. To what world do you belong? You are not flesh nor blood. Do you belong to the cosmic powers that live in the heavenly places? It is said that they shall fear your name from the west, and your glory will rise out of the sun. You will come like a rushing stream driven by the wind. Why wind? Wind that pours out over me and breathes life to the dust and into dried bones, that comes thundering from heaven, that filled that entire house with tongues of flame, flames that baptize me in holy fire. Why fire? Is this the same fire that created the heavens? Is it possible? Can that same power live inside of me? Lead me. Give me new life.
Can that same power not only live within us, but lead us, teach us, and bring us life? What do you think, church? Amen? Amen. In case you didn't guess, today we are talking about the Holy Spirit, right? Which is a little funny to even say, because it's like I don't tell you, hey, today we're going to talk about the Father. Today, hey, we're going to talk about Jesus. Which is one of the reasons why this sermon is so important. And we're going to do a lot of teaching this morning, right? And so I want to prepare you for that. But let's start with that core value. We value the Holy Spirit, knowing Jesus sent him as our helper to guide us in truth and empower us to live out that truth. Today, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, I want to say from the get-go, clearly, this is just a starting point. In this sermon, it is our sermon on the value of the Holy Spirit teaching and empowering us. But again, like I said a few minutes ago, that would be like me saying, it's a starting point for Jesus, like, or it's a starting point for the Father. I want us to unpack today some of the things that Jesus said about the Spirit, so we have a place to anchor. The purpose of the Spirit in our lives, the purpose of the Spirit in the life of the church, and the purpose of our relationship with the Spirit. Because that's where we have gotten so far off course as the church in North America. And so if you're new to church, let me just say, we're not talking about Casper, even though sometimes we call him the Holy Ghost. We're not talking about a genie in a bottle, and we're not talking about a dove on a flannel board, if any of you ever went to VBS as a young child, right? But the problem is, in the church in North America, we've taken one of two extremes, generally speaking. Either we don't know how to unpack the Holy Spirit, and that sounds awful funky and awful ethereal, and so we relegate him to a dove. By the way, just for a point of clarification, that scripture says he came like a dove descending from heaven. Doesn't say he came as a dove. There's plenty of places scripture says someone came in the form of. God showed up in the form of. That is not what happened here, but it's okay. I'll let you guys all have your dove analogy. The Wesleyan Church has it. It's okay. You can keep that picture. We're good. But Holy Spirit as one of the Trinity is so much more. The other side of that is that churches key in on the power of the Spirit. Like, can that power really live within us? And let's chase the power or the manifestations of the power, the manifestations of the Spirit, instead of handling, actually wanting a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Are we okay, church? Are we okay? If you are new, I promise, this may seem a little funky, but it's going to be okay. So the person, the Holy Spirit, first, let's just cover the bases. The Holy Spirit is one of the Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Spirit, Holy Spirit. Some people don't want to say the Holy Spirit. Like, that's just all a bunch of nuance, you guys. We say the Father. We don't say the Jesus, so nobody's going to get upset. I can't imagine the triune God being like, they said the or didn't say the. That's not okay. We don't want to get caught up in those silly little things. But we also want to have a foundation of purpose so that we aren't the people who are trying to have the Spirit flow through in power without bearing any fruit of the Spirit. Or on the other side of the spectrum, we don't want to be a church or a people that are trying so hard to bear the fruits of the Spirit, but we're so disconnected from the actual power source that it's like, do you ever get like a greenhouse tomato out of season or a greenhouse strawberry out of season? The color's right, the texture's right sometimes, but the taste is just not there. That's what trying to walk in peace, patience, love, gentleness, kindness, self-control, that's what trying to walk in that without being connected to the Spirit will get you. That's the kind of fruit it will bear. Shallow, hollow, tasteless fruit, right? Which is not what we want. I'm going to save that. All right, so let's go back because we're in this series, right? We're talking about the things that are at our core, who we are as a church and who we are as a body of believers. And last week we said at our core, we value the word, right? And not just knowing the word, but doing the word, right? Walking it out, living the word. And so in that, we were in a passage mainly in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I'll just remind you that that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 30, God was talking to his people. Now, this was Old Testament, but God was talking to his people. And remember, he said, you guys need to obey the word, and it's not too hard for you because you don't have to cross an ocean, and you don't have to climb a mountain, and you don't need to ascend into the heavens. God says, even in the Old Testament, God says, I have put the word very near to you. It is in your mouth, and I have placed it in your hearts. Well, today I want us to pick up in a New Testament passage, chapter 10, verses 15 to 18. Before we jump into the purpose that Jesus gives us for the Spirit, I want us to have this little anchor point, right? So if we can have that Hebrews passage, Shelley, and if you don't have it, just shout out. Okay, not a problem. I changed some stuff this morning, so y'all, that is not on the tech team, that is on the pastor. So Hebrews 10, 15 to 18 says, the Holy Spirit testifies about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will put with them. And after that, at the time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like our passage from last week about the word? Then he adds, their sins and their lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. So what has changed between Old Testament and New Testament, between Old Covenant and New Covenant, between Deuteronomy and Hebrews, is Jesus. What has changed is that while we've always had the word to follow near us in our hearts and minds, before, when we sinned, it separated us from the power of God. The Holy Spirit didn't reside in people in the Old Testament. We were separated, like I know, married couples in the room, raise your hand. Right, okay, you can put them down now. I know none of us have ever stormed out after a fight and gone to sleep in the couch. No, not ever, right? Like, that sin has never separated us from our spouse. No, not ever. Like, in the Old Testament, that's what would happen. The word was still there. Y'all are still spouses when one of you's on the couch or not, but you're separated. And thanks to Jesus and the sacrifice he made, when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, then we're no longer separated when we mess up. Anger no longer separates us. Unforgiveness no longer separates us. Whatever the sin is, no longer separates us. And not only does it no longer separate us, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, God himself actually dwells within us to keep the living word living instead of stagnant in our hearts and in our minds. So today, we're going to focus on the person of the Spirit. Specifically, we're going to focus on his purpose in our lives, his purpose in the church, and the purpose of our relationship with him. Like, the key purpose, right? Like, okay. You get married for a lot of reasons, right? There's a lot of benefits, challenges, struggles sometimes. There's a lot wrapped into marriage. But you get married for one main reason. To live your life with your spouse, to become one, to be united and go through life together, right? So there's a lot of things that come from the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of benefits. There's a lot of nuances of relationship. But what are the key purposes? And that's what we're after today. And so I want us to start with the words of Jesus. We're going to be in John chapter 14. Y'all do me a favor. I know this is like a teachy topic. I promise there's good meat in here, but just kind of put your hands up. Do some jazz hands. There we go. Good. Just get a good stretch out. Okay. We ready to jump into this, you guys? We ready? All right. I want to ask you to read with me. We are in John chapter 14. This is Jesus talking. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it is neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. He lives with you and will be in you. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. By the way, there was a little break in the passage we didn't read, just so you know that if you're following along. We jump down a few verses. Jesus says, if you respect me, keep my commands. No, not what he said. If you fear me, God says, because I'm creator of the universe, if you fear me, keep my commands. If you like me, keep my commands. Jesus says, and this is one of those little verses we can just blow right past like it's words. So let's put it into context. So Shawnee said something this week that just was profound at Bridge Builders. She said, has grace made us forget the power of holiness? Something about has grace kind of basically desensitized us from the holiness of God, right? So I want you to be in this moment for a second. Jesus, God himself, with all the power of everything at his fingertips, could speak anything, had stilled the winds, had healed, had brought back to life, all the power. Says, if you love me, friend, if you love me, brother, sister, if you just love me, keep my commands. I so wish, and if they're online, sons, I so wish when I was parenting, I had been further in my Christian walk. I so wish that I had come at my kids much earlier from a position of, if you love me, that's where your obedience will come from. Maybe it's just me. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands. You're like, I thought we were talking about the Holy Spirit. We are. I'm sorry. That's just an add. That's an extra bonus clip. He says, I will ask the Father, and the Father will give you another advocate, the Spirit of truth, to teach you and remind you of everything I've said. Jesus basically says, hey, guys, Dad's sending someone. I know you're tripping and you're not believing me because I'm going away and I've told you that. But Dad is sending you someone else to help you. He's sending you an advocate. The Greek word for that is parakletos. It means a legal assistant in court, one who acts on another's behalf as a helper. If you've ever been in any kind of custody thing or seen anything with kids or someone who is not able to speak for themselves in court, the court will appoint a guardian ad litem. It's someone to speak for, defend, speak up for, and represent the person. An advocate. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. It also means an advisor or an intermediary. Okay, I'm going to give you guys a goofy, cheesy way to remember this, okay? But because I want us to understand how much the Holy Spirit's there to help us in the thick of that. And we'll get to some of those examples. But remember I told you the Greek word, I don't share words with you a whole lot in other languages, but the Greek word is parakletos. I want you to think of a paracletes. I want you to think of being on a football field in the middle of a game, and it's muddy and it's nasty and you're slipping and sliding, and the quarterback is going to give you because the quarterback still hands off. Well, I haven't watched football in a couple of years. I used to be like a football junkie, not anymore. Is going to give you the ball and you know it. And what if suddenly, look, y'all aren't probably going to be able to see online. I love these boots. It is my mission to replace these boots. Like, they are as flat can be. There is nothing. I have worn the soles off of these boots. What if that's what your shoes are like and you know you got to drive downfield with the ball? You're not going to get anywhere. But see, the Holy Spirit's your paracletes. The Holy Spirit's going to help you in the mud and the muck to dig in. The Holy Spirit's going to help you turn and pivot when you need to turn and pivot. And when you meet resistance, the Holy Spirit's going to help you dig down and press forward towards the goal. Because the Holy Spirit is your helper and he's your advocate. And he's there. Yeah, he's there to throw all kinds of gifts and power at you, but that's secondary. The first thing he's there to do is help you dig in and press towards the goal that God, Jesus, has set before you to get to. Amen, church. That was fun. To help us. Not to bully us. Not to hurt us. Not to dictate to us. In some unbending, unwavering, unyield. Now, the truth is unbending. The truth is unchanging. But a helper isn't a drill sergeant. Drill sergeants will help you out sometimes, but that is not the role of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. I want us to catch this. The Holman Bible Handbook summarizes it really well. It says, this means that truth is that which characterizes the nature and mission of the Spirit. The Spirit testifies to the truth of God in Christ and brings people toward that truth. So we've already said that his role is to teach us the truth, right? To teach us. I want you to pause and I want you to think of who your favorite teachers were in school. Think of one of them, like, man, there was Miss Hardy. She was my second grade teacher. I loved her. There was Miss Cadman. She was my high school psych teacher. Loved her. Who was that teacher you loved? And an English teacher I loved. Did you love them because they were super organized? Or because they were the smartest? Did you love them? Do teachers of the year get teacher of the year because they have the best classroom discipline? The stories never say that. The essays these kids write are about how this teacher helped me to connect to something I needed to connect to that I was struggling with, helped me relate to something I couldn't grasp, walked in relationship with me, and I was not just another person in their class, but oh, wait, that teacher saw me and knew me and probably loved me, whether the student can articulate that or not. We have the best teacher, the first teacher, the essence of teachers in the Holy Spirit, who is there to help us and understand topics maybe we can't understand without him. Who is there to remind us when we forget something. Imagine having your favorite teacher in your pocket when you had an exam and it was totally okay for them to just stand over your shoulder and go, remember when I taught you this? Like, one of the things I loved about Miss Cadman is every time she was teaching something that was going to be on the test, she would ring a little, she had one of those old-fashioned little teacher bells, and she would ding the bell to catch our attention so we would know it was going to be on the test. She didn't care. She wanted us to learn it. Teach us and help us, because God said the task of obeying his word is not too difficult for us. And it is not law, but it is life. It is not meant to hinder us, but to equip us. Jesus also said the Holy Spirit would remind us of things we'd already learned. You ever forget something and get really frustrated? Most of you know this about your pastor. I forget names. I am convinced there is a learning disability for real that prevents you. I can know someone's name for 10 years and go to pray for them, and I have a panic moment like I'm going to forget their name. Y'all just need to know that. I will remember every detail you've ever told me about your life. Like the other day, Mary and I were talking, and I said something from 3 years ago, and she was like, I got to stop telling you stuff. Like, really? You remember that? To help remind us in love, not condemn us, not chastise us. See, the difference between the Holy Spirit and some people who remind us of things in this world, or maybe how we sometimes remind others, is the Holy Spirit never goes, you idiot, how many times do I have to tell you? Let's go back to what I wish I could rewind and redo in parenting. How many times do I have to say blah, blah, blah? That's all our kids hear anyways, blah, blah, blah. The Holy Spirit says, remember when? Hey, let me tap you on the shoulder. Hey, when you're storming down the stairs mad and angry and ready to throw something in your anger, remember I taught you in your anger, do not sin. He spoke that to me. Ooh, I failed that test. I've since gotten better, but remember when I taught you this thing, or remember when you learned this thing? Church, I have a question. How often do we avoid God or avoid the church, or we don't come in here for a couple weeks because we did something wrong, and it's like God wasn't aware we were doing it wrong. Like, he doesn't know somehow already, like, right? But we just kind of avoid, or we don't go to him in prayer for a couple days because we know there's something. And all along, we're afraid God is going to drop the hammer. And all along, Jesus is going, remember I told you the Holy Spirit's your helper. He's your helper. He's your advocate. He's your paraclete. He's going to get you through the mud, even if you made the mud. Don't avoid him. Get behind him. Let him be your blocker and defender, right? And it all goes back to the word, which is why we preached on the word before preaching on the spirit. Because Jesus said, he's going to teach you what I've said. He's going to remind you. There's a devotional called Who is the Holy Spirit by Switch. And he says, sometimes the Holy Spirit sounds like thoughts in your head. Sometimes he drops a mental picture. Other times he gives you a dream that just feels different. Most often, he speaks by illuminating parts of the Bible, reminding you of a verse you've read and helping you understand it in a new way. Prophecy's great. Tongues are great. All those things are awesome. But 98% of what we need is right here, already printed, and the Holy Spirit reminds us. So from Jesus as a church, right, and hopefully as individuals in our lives, the first thing we want to take away is that the Holy Spirit's purpose in our lives is to teach us, remind us of truth, and empower us to live out that truth. That's our value statement. Let's get back to a point, and they may or may not have it. So if you guys can find it, awesome. But the first point I want you to walk away with is that the Spirit's purpose in our lives is to help us, teach us the truth, and remind us of what we already know. In that, will the Spirit bring us power? Absolutely. In that, will the Spirit give us a prophetic word or lead us in a new direction? Yes, absolutely. Will the Spirit manifest himself in our lives through the gifts and signs and wonders? Yes, I believe he will. Is God still working miracles and healings through people? Is God still using tongues, whether it's a prayer language or a language that requires interpretation in different circumstances? I believe all of that, and all of that comes from the Spirit. But Jesus said the reason the Father is sending you the advocate is this. And those are the extras. Those are the bonuses. Those are the free add-ons. But this is what you got to take away. Now, we also have the Spirit's role in the church. And y'all are looking at this little handout going, oh my word, we're never going to get to dinner, much less lunch. No, we're not going to, in this sermon, we are not going to dig deep into the Spirit's role in the church. That would be a multi-sermon series. But I wanted to give you guys some tools and equip and encourage you to explore. Because this isn't even a comprehensive list. But if you go through the scripture and see what the Spirit did in the body of the church, in the life of the church, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. He gives new directions. He transforms experience. He encourages. He empowers Christians for witness. We are going to dig into that one. He sanctifies us. The Holy Spirit's presence in a body and in our person brings some things along. But in the role of the church, when the Spirit is present and moving in the church, when it is not hindered by disunity, when it is not hindered by bickering, when he is not hindered by our own behaviors and he's working in the church, you see the observable effects of that. Blessing and fellowship, freedom and peace, life in abundance. And the Spirit takes direct actions, like action verbs, y'all. He teaches, he testifies, he intercedes, he warns, he speaks, he knows, he calls out, he hears. So can we stop either relegating the Spirit to a flannel board and being afraid to talk about him, or caring only that he speaks in tongues, and he heals, and let's talk about all the things that he does. And as a church, let's get grounded and founded in that. So I encourage you in your quiet time, in your reading, I gave you this so that you would have scriptures. Begin to explore. Our commitment as a teaching team is to make sure that we are being intentional about pointing out when the Spirit is moving, when we are in a passage, to really highlight that. So that the Spirit doesn't become this accessory that we talk about every couple of months, but that we honor and respect him as one of the Trinity. It's important because at the core, if we are a church without the presence and the Spirit of God moving in us, then we are just another nonprofit at best. And at worst, we're just a shell that has no energy inside of it. It's not making any impacts. The Holy Spirit empowers the church to serve the world on mission. And the mission is Jesus. The mission is Jesus. John 15, 26 and 27 says, when the advocate comes this is Jesus again. When the advocate comes who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth goes out with the Father. He will testify about me. And you also must testify because you've been with me from the beginning. Many of us are familiar with Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Why were they receiving power? To witness. Were they receiving power so the church could grow big? So they could take in all the money? So they could do signs and wonders? Jesus said, you will receive my power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you so you can be my witnesses. When we, the church, cooperate with the Holy Spirit, he leads and empowers us to live and share the good news of Jesus. That is the Spirit's key role in the body of the church, to lead and empower the church to point to Jesus. Are we okay? We good? Do we need another, like, Erica's like, I'm there. I got this. I'm cheering you on, Pastor Jen. Thank you, Erica. What is the role of relationship? What is our relationship with the Spirit supposed to look like? Because this is where we really do get it messed up so often, right? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had one of those friends that's only around on your payday? Have you ever had one of those friends that, what is that adage about a friend in need is a friend indeed, whatever, except they're the only ones ever in need, right? Like, you have a need, like the prodigal son, when he went out, the friends he had, they were all there to party and squander his dad's wealth away, but when he was slopping and eating the pig food, there was nobody with him. Did you guys notice that? You ever had a friend that, like, okay, I was never the cool kid in school. I'm sure that's not shocking to any of you. I am by far from being the cool kid, and we all know that. So, but have you ever not been the cool kid, and all of a sudden one of the cool kids wants to hang around you, and you're like, what's up? And then you realize, oh, I have him in trig class, and he doesn't know how to answer. Like, there's a test coming, and there ain't no way he's in it for what you can help him with or her with. Does that break your heart? Remember how it made you feel when you first realized you had a, quote, friend that was using you? Think about that. How do you think God feels when that's how we treat him? How do you think the Holy Spirit feels when the only time we come to him is when we're in desperate need and we need his signs and wonders? We need the miraculous. And he's there for the miraculous. That's not his purpose. Paul is writing this letter in 2 Corinthians. First of all, the church in Corinth, y'all need to know, like, was messed up. Like, Jessica, who's the show? What's the show? The church, Jerry Springer. Thank you. I couldn't think. Like, the church in Corinth, like, could have given a season of Jerry Springer episodes, right? Like, they were messed up. They get two letters from Paul, and they're pretty long, both of them. And so, but in his second letter, and by the way, the church in Corinth was not at all shy on manifestations of the Spirit. They weren't lacking on people to give prophetic words or speak in tongues. They weren't lacking on people to do miracles or healings. They weren't lacking in any of that. They had an abundance of it, but they were jacked up. And Paul closes a letter to them. Like, all your mess. This is letter number 2. You only fixed a little bit of it. Like, all your mess. Paul says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. He does not say, may the power of the Spirit be with you. He does not say, may y'all learn how to use the gifts of the Spirit the right way. He doesn't even say, may the fruits of the Spirit. Y'all, if you don't know, the fruits of the Spirit are the list that we get about peace, patience, love, gentleness, self-control, all those things that happen as a result of us hanging out with God and being with him and being in his word. Paul prays for them that they have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That word is koinonia. There's no cute adage. Paracletes was it. That's what you got for like 6 months from me on cheesy words. But koinonia is a participation or fellowship, the act of sharing in the activities or privileges of an intimate association or group. Koinonia hinges on community, fellowship, participation, close mutual relationship, intimacy, and communion. Paul didn't pray that they would walk in the power of the Spirit. Paul prayed that they would walk in deep and intimate relationship with the Spirit. Can I suggest to you that 120 people in an upper room did not spread in 100 years across two continents, the entire Greco-Roman Empire, against great resistance, because those 120 people could preach real well? Or because one of them had a really great gift of healing? Or because one of them could speak, like Paul bore people literally to death, they fall asleep and fall out of a window, rose them up from the dead, right? Like, y'all better, look, Paul probably had this sheet and tried to preach through the whole thing, scripture by scripture, and the guy fell asleep and died, and he raised him up, right? That's not why the church grew like that. The church grew like that because they were in step with the Spirit, because they had koinonia, they had fellowship with the Holy Spirit. They knew the Spirit. Do you know there's a, read through Acts sometimes. It's amazing. Philip is on a journey. Philip knew the Holy Spirit so well that he could discern the angel of the Lord's voice in comparison to the Spirit's voice. I feel like if they both showed up, I'd be so flat on the floor face down, like I wouldn't know who was saying what. But Philip knew. He could tell the difference between the angel's voice and the Spirit's voice. Paul is walking down the road, and the Spirit's like, stop, turn and go the other way. You're not going that way. I know this is your plan. Let me ask, who's ever had a big project at work or something going on, and you have a plan, and you're about to execute that plan? Like, you got it figured out. You have invested time, talent. Like, you're ready. Anybody? Like, for real? Online? Somebody? Thank you. And then your boss goes, nope, turn around, go the other direction. You're like, what? But, get your butt out of the way and turn around and go the other way. Right? Paul knew the voice of the Spirit. And you're all like, well, Pastor Jen, that only happened in the New Testament. That was just in the beginning. Nuh-uh. I got to tell you, the team that was here that morning knows this. Some of you may have noticed a couple weeks back I came in and I was scattered. I could not anchor myself in the passage. Like, my preaching was just, I was getting ready to walk out the door from the house to walk to church. And the Spirit, literally, I was like purse in hand, getting ready to walk out, picked up my keys, and God said, stop and turn around, go do this right now. And I was like, okay. Well, I hang out with God enough to know. Now, I'm thinking 1,000 different reasons, right? 2 minutes later, I'm walking out the door to leave 2 minutes later than I was going to leave. And I'm halfway down our long driveway, and I hear like this triple giant crash strung out over like 15 seconds. And I'm thinking it's three cars. Like, I come running, right? It's one truck. But it has gone off the road on the other side of 210, come across, clipped a pole, jumped the median, and landed on the sidewalk where guess who walks to church? See, the Holy Spirit will interrupt your day. But you better know if it's the pizza you ate gurgling your stomach or the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that's not just in the New Testament, and that's not just for pastors. That's for every one of us. God wants to invade our lives in such a way, to walk in fellowship with us in such a way. And you're like, let's be practical. Pastor Jen, I don't have time. I don't, you know, how do I do that? I'm not sure how to get away, or I want to pray more, but like, how do I talk to the Spirit? You just talk. You just talk. I was, okay, transparent. I was whining to God, like, God, I need more time to pray, and I don't know where to fit it in my day. Like, we were just coming up again, and I was like, I really, God burdened my heart to pray for the team and the congregation by name and some areas of the community by name every day. And I was like, where am I going to get that time? And God was like, you drive to the gym 20, 25 minutes each way, three times a week. How about you don't listen to your radio? How about you use that time to pray? Oh, I'm not awake, God. That's 4:30. And God was like, really? Okay. Make the time. Because what's on the other side, you guys? You ever have that friend? Like that, not the friend that uses you, but the friend that can finish your sentences? The friend that shows up with a fall t-shirt as a surprise because they saw it and they knew how much you loved fall. And they just knew it was for you because they know you that well. Your spouse, who you guys can tell a story together without ever breaking rhythm and bounce back and forth. God of the universe, that's what he wants your relationship to look like. He won't just bring you fall in a t-shirt. He'll bring you like fall in real living color, right? But seriously, that's what God wants. And is it easy at first? Like some of y'all are newer in your walk or you're coming from a different faith background or some of the guys in the room are like, this is just for girls, this Holy Spirit stuff, right? Because girls are touchy-feely. No, it's not. And will it be awkward at first? Yeah. So is every first date, but one of them led you to someone you love. If you are in a serious relationship with someone or sitting with a spouse or you have had a spouse in your life, you had a first date with that person and it was awkward. You had a first coffee with a friend. This week I wanted to get to know someone better from the congregation and I just asked if they could meet up for coffee and the first 10 minutes were a little awkward because everybody always thinks they're sent to the principal's office when I ask to have coffee with them. It's really awful. I just like coffee and people. That's how it is. But you press through that, and then by the end of the conversation, it's easier, and by the next conversation, it's easier, and the next conversation, it's easier. No relationship starts out intimate, but the benefits of an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit in our lives cannot be described, cannot have a number put on them. Priceless, hashtag priceless. And I just want to say this. The Holy Spirit is not interested in a groupie that just wants his autograph and to be sung to and jumped up and down about. That's cool, but that's not what he's after. The Holy Spirit does not want some stalker that's completely infatuated with him. And the Holy Spirit doesn't want a parasite that's just hanging out for what the parasite can get from the host. He also doesn't want to be ignored. He doesn't want to be relegated to a flannel board. And he doesn't want you to be afraid because somebody called him the Holy Ghost. I'm going to leave you with one quick I'm going to paraphrase this. In Acts 12, because I know some of you, depending on your tradition, are thinking, well, but the power, and you're not preaching about the power, and you're not preaching about the gifts, and you're not preaching about blah, blah, blah. Those are all holy and sacred and amazing. But they can't be at our core what we're pursuing. They can't be at our core what we value. In Acts chapter 8, there's this guy named Simon, and he's a local sorcerer. He does some witchcrafty stuff, and he's got some power, and he's got followers. Well, then the church comes on the scene, and Philip is there and preaches, and all these people get saved. But it says that Simon himself believed in Jesus. In Jesus is my paraphrase, but believed in Jesus and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished at the great things he saw. Simon himself believed and was baptized. Well, for whatever reason, this is the one group of believers in the entire New Testament that didn't receive the Spirit right away. The apostles, the disciples hear, and they come to lay hands on the people and pray that they would receive the Spirit, right? So we skip down and it says, when Simon saw the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. I want you to catch something. Simon did not ask, let me give you money so I can receive the Holy Spirit so that everyone on whom I lay my hands thinks I'm awesome. He didn't say, so everyone on whom I lay my hands follows me. He said, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands receives the Spirit. But you see, for him, he was pursuing the power that the Spirit offered instead of pursuing the Spirit himself. And they basically tell him, you better go pray that you don't die and go to hell. You better go get your heart straight. And that's the last we hear about Simon. We have got to be about pursuing the person of the Spirit, not forgetting him and not pursuing his power, because a relationship and fellowship with the Spirit, it's more about fellowship than power and manifestations. And with all that, the rest will come. When we hang out with God, the fruits of the Spirit will come, the power will come, the gifts will come. They will edify us. They will edify the body and they will glorify God. How come some churches talk in tongues and have more healing miracles and other churches don't? Because in that body of believers, it wouldn't edify them. That's all I got for you. That's what the scripture says. Some will have gifts, some will have other gifts. We tend to glorify this, and the greatest gift of all is love, and we all have that. So how about we all let the Spirit manifest in love? Folks, we look around and this is a dry and thirsty land. We're in a dry and thirsty time. John's sister's visiting and she said coming into Indian Head, you know, she saw the buildings and she saw and she was so excited we were here, right? Sorry, I didn't even ask you if I could share that. But it's a dry and thirsty land out there. But we're not left to our own devices. The Holy Spirit is there so that people can have their thirst quenched, so that we can flow in life. I'm going to leave you with one more passage from Jesus. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And by this he meant the Spirit, for whom those who believed in him would later receive. By the way, that's John 7:37 to 39. So as we wrap up today, as the worship team comes up, my challenge, church. Man, I would love for this to be one of the services where we're going to pray for a fresh anointing of the Spirit, and we're going to pray for miracles, and we're going to pray for healing, and those services will happen. But our real challenge, our real takeaway, at our core, what are we seeking? The challenge today is that this week, what did Paul say? That we walk in the grace of Jesus, the love of God, and fellowship with the Spirit. Your homework is go make friends with the Holy Spirit. Go make better friends. Go have a coffee with God. Have a conversation. Tell him what you're going through, because he'll show up in that with his power and his gifts. He'll show up in your problem, but he cares more that you show up in the relationship first. Amen, church. Ms. Angie, would you pray for us, please?
Sure. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence, God. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the gift of relationship with the Holy Spirit to remind us of all that you've already taught us, to explain what we don't understand, to give us wisdom in the situations that we face on a daily basis. God, we're so grateful and so thankful, Lord God, and we commit to getting to know him better from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.